Did you pay attention to the lyrics of the song we just sang? Did you pay attention to the words, to the message? I mean, here's what we just sang about. I've been set free. I used to be a prisoner to my sin. I used to be a prisoner to consequences and to guilt and to fear. But those chains have been broken. And I am saved. And I am rescued. And death can't even hold me. Isn't that awesome? That's what we just celebrated together today. And why did that happen? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross in my place. He took my sin with him and he killed it. He conquered it. He rescued me from it. Because Jesus didn't just sacrifice himself. He didn't just pay for my sin. Jesus defeated death. He rose again. He came back to life. He is alive. And that's why we say Jesus Christ is my living hope. He's alive. He's still alive. He's still active. And he gives us hope. And I think I've shared with this church family before. I think sometimes we have a skewed or just not completely accurate understanding of hope, at least when God talks to us about hope and puts hope in our hearts. Because I think a lot of times we equate the word hope with wish or luck. You know, I hope my team wins. I hope I get that job promotion. I hope my car starts. I hope we wrap up soon because I got lunch plans. I hope, you know, like we got a whole bunch of things that we cross our fingers and we hope for. And what we're really saying is it would be nice if this happened, but I'm not even completely for sure that it will. Folks, that's not hope, at least not the hope that God provides. When we sing about Jesus being our living hope, when Scripture talks about how we have hope, that's not crossing our fingers and going, man, wouldn't it be nice if something good happened? Hope that God gives us through Jesus Christ means expectation. I plan for this to happen. I believe that it's going to happen. I'm just waiting for it to happen. That's what hope is. There's no doubt. I'm just waiting. I'm just expecting it. It can't get here soon enough. That's hope. And that's what we have because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that's what we have because Jesus walked out of the tomb. And in the book of Titus, and maybe that's not a book that you're very familiar with in Scripture, kind of towards the end of your Bibles, but in the book of Titus, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking to Titus, and he talks about what we have experienced because of Jesus. He talks about our sin, and he talks about the consequences that we have because of our sin, and he talks about how Jesus set us free from that, how Jesus conquered our sin through the cross. But then he says, here's why he did that. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the, what? Say it with me. Hope. That was the weakest statement of hope I may have heard in my life. Let's start over. Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Hope. I am expecting eternal life. I am expecting that there's something when this life is over. Am I blessed to have Jesus in my life now? Yes. Am I blessed to be connected with him and connected with other believers in him? Absolutely. But there's something even better. There's something even greater to expect. And I get to experience it because Jesus took away my sin at the cross and conquered death at the grave. And Paul says, because Jesus died and rose again, I have hope. There's something to look forward to. I've told this church family multiple times about the multiple experiences that I got to have a few years ago when I was a little bit younger and much better shape. When I got to go with some of our teenagers and climb, you know, a couple of different 13,000 foot mountains in Colorado. There's one particular trip that we went on where we have our packs. They're full of 40, 50 pounds worth of gear. And we're walking along. We just taken a break. And we get kind of gathered up. And our guides say, okay, see that point up there? That's where we're going to get to. We're going to walk up this hill. And we're just going to keep going until we get there. Some of y'all are probably going to go faster. Some of y'all, it's going to take a little bit longer, but we're all going to get up there. And you just got to keep moving forward. You just got to go. Keep walking. Keep moving forward. And so we did. And some of our teens were awesome, man. They just went right up there, seemingly no problem at all. That was not me. And I'm walking along pretty soon. I'm not even looking up at the top of the hill anymore. I'm looking down, making sure I don't trip. And I'm thinking to myself, 5 more steps, 10 more steps, 2 more steps. I'm even stopping every once in a while, taking a breath, and got rest for a second because it was a steep hill. And there were 2 or 3 times when I stopped to catch my breath that I thought to myself, I'm not sure this is worth it. I mean, great, we get it to the top of a hill. So what? I'm dying right now. I'm not for sure that's going to be worth it when I get there. Get to the top of the hill. Turn around, look, and see the view. And see what we walked up, and see what we conquered. It's the best feeling ever. You know what? It was worth it. You know, that didn't feel like it at the time. There was something better when we got to the top. And that's the principle that Paul shares in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul says this. This is the way life works sometimes. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Paul says, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life doesn't go the way we want it to. As a matter of fact, it feels like sometimes life is on the attack. And we feel beaten down, and we're hurt, and other people are hurting us, or we're doing things that hurt ourselves, or maybe it's just circumstances that we have no control over. But I'm perplexed, I'm stressed, I'm hurting. But Paul says we're not completely overwhelmed. We're not completely defeated. And you drop down to verse 14, he says, because we know, here's why we're not completely abandoned and without hope. He says, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We will live again no matter what happens to us in this world, no matter what happens to us in this life, there's something better. And even if things are good in this life, there's something better. And even when things are beating us down and we're feeling stressed and we're feeling anxious and we're feeling afraid and we're hurting, there's something better. It's worth it. So he says, because I know that, because I believe that to be true, drop down to verse 16, and here's what he says. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal victory and eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Some of us have some pretty big things that we're struggling with, maybe even right now. We got relationship issues. We've got things going on in our family. Our marriage may be on life support. We've got health issues. We got financial issues, and some of those things are because of our own choices, and some of those things are beyond our control. We got people talking bad about us. We got people mistreating us. We got fear. We got anxiety, and those things are real, and they're hurtful, and they're somewhat overwhelming. And Paul looks at those things and goes, it's light and momentary. And there's part of me that wants to look at Paul and go, shut up, Paul. This is heavy, and it's lasting a while. Paul says, it's light. It's just for a moment compared to what's waiting for us when this life is over. Compared to what's waiting when we get to the top of the hill. It hurts right now. It's painful. It's a struggle, yes. But it's light and it's momentary compared to eternity with God Almighty and his son Jesus that set us free. So don't lose heart and don't give up. So I want to spend, I know we've done a lot of singing today. We're going to do a little bit more. We're going to spend a little bit of time just celebrating what's waiting for us at the top of the hill. What's waiting for us when this life is over. Almighty God, we feel that stirring right now. We sense it. We know it. That there is something within us that belongs to you, that there is something within us that you're going to call home one of these days, and we look forward to that day. Thank you for giving us hope, for giving us eternal life through your Son. We praise you and we thank you in the powerful, beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to wrap up in just a second, but I wonder how many of you are familiar with the term anchor point. Because anchor points have a lot of different definitions, a lot of different uses. If people are working, construction workers, industrial workers working up somewhere high, and they, have a rope or something to tether themselves to something secure, and they call that an anchor point. If you do like graphic design, digital design, you got this object on your screen and it kind of rotates on an axis, and some call that the anchor point. If you shoot, archery, bows and arrows. I don't, but apparently, if you pull the string back and you got it resting kind of on your cheek or your chin, people call that the anchor point. The cleat, the little piece of metal that's on your boat that you attach the anchor rope to, some people call that the anchor point. Lots of different definitions, lots of different uses. And what I want us to think about is when you're climbing or when you're rappelling and you have something secure that you run your rope through, that you attach your rope through to make sure that if your feet slip, something goes wrong, you don't go plummeting down. You have an anchor point. You have something solid to attach to. And it can be something simple. It can just be a simple ring that you're attached to or that your rope is attached to. And it may not seem like anything big, but when when the feet slip and when you start to fall, you're thankful for that anchor point. When things are not going the way they're supposed to, you're thankful for that anchor point. You're thankful for something that's solid that you can tie into. Something that's solid you can anchor to and know this is going to stick, this is going to stay, this is going to be with me no matter what. And folks, that's what we're going to talk about for the next several weeks here at Flagstone. This is your first time here. I'd love for you to come back next week and the next several weeks, because we're going to talk about anchor points. We're going to talk about things that we can attach our relationships, our marriages, our jobs, our fears, our triumphs, our self-esteem, our faith to. Something solid, something secure that we can count on, that when things get overwhelming, when things get stressful, when things get fearful, when we make mistakes, when other people do things that are hurtful to us, we still got something that we can hold on to that's going to hold us solid. That's what we're talking about for the next few weeks here at Flagstone. And folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an anchor point. It's something to hold on to. It's something to tie my life to. When things get tough, when things don't go the way they're supposed to, when my prayers don't get answered the way that I wish, when I make mistakes and I'm wrestling with the guilt of those things, you're dealing with those consequences, when other people do things to hurt me, when I'm stressed, when I'm scared, I've got an anchor in the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. That when they went to the tomb, the angel said, "He's not here. He's risen." Why is that an anchor point? Because of what we've already talked about today. Because I know that no matter what else, my God has the power to rescue me. No matter what's going on in my life, He can fix it. He can heal it. He can forgive it. He can make it better. And not only that, He's got something better waiting for me when this life is over. That's something I can anchor to. That's something I need to anchor to. Here's my question for you this morning, just to be thinking about. What else have you been anchoring to recently? What else have you tied your life to, hoping that it holds? Your finances? Your job? That person you're dating? Your friends? Your talent? Your good looks? Your popularity? Your stuff? Those things don't hold. They fall apart. They fade away. They break. the things that really matter, the things that really last, that's what we need to latch into. And we need to trust and to know, if we've never believed it before, or if it's been a long time since we really allowed ourselves to let the truth sink in, Jesus Christ took our sins away at the cross. Jesus Christ really did die. Jesus Christ really was buried. Jesus Christ rose again, and we will too. No matter what happens in life, I can hold on to that. That's an anchor point. And if you don't have that anchor point in your life today, you need it. And we're going to stand up in just a second. We're going to sing a song, another song together. And we're going to sing about how one of these days we will receive that promise. We will rise again. We will be with the Lord forever. We're going to celebrate that. But as we're singing that song, if you recognize it, where you are in your life right now, you've got a lot of your faith, a lot of your self-esteem, a lot of your self-assurance attached to a whole bunch of things that may not hold. We invite you, if you're willing, to just come down to the front and share that with us. We'll pray about that. We'll do whatever we can to help you get anchored to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If it's weird, if it's awkward for you to come walking to the front in front of all these people, then come find me as soon as worship is over with. Come find one of our shepherds. Even just talk to somebody sitting on the row next to you and go, man, I need a better anchor in my life. And we'll have a conversation. We'll talk. We'll pray. We'll answer whatever questions we have. Don't leave here today not anchored to him. If we can help you get anchored to Jesus, who gave his life for you, who conquered death for you, who has something better waiting for you when this life is over, we want to get you connected to him. So let us know how. While together we stand and sing.